This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% when you use the code FIT10 at checkout. That's FIT10. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 76. My name is Kevin Larrabee and we're live this week. And along with me is Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com and also JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com. I found that the trick is to just say that slowly.
Oh, really? It's one of those things, tongue twister?
It's one of those things. And also, we have the triumphant return of Jen Heath this week. Jen, I'm so glad to have you back. And also, don't forget to check out Jen's site. It's just jenheath.com. What's up, Jen?
Nothing. It's good to be back. Just tell everyone, I won't apologize. I'll just say this is what it is. My life's just been nuts for the last 3 weeks. I'm totally recovering now, but I had a couple of deaths in the family, and that's just the start of it. My son was hurt, and anyway, so I didn't even get to compete in my show that I was actually, I got BioSig modulated at 6.75, so I was pretty shredded and ready to compete, and then I had to call everything off. So I've been gone for good reasons, but it's nice to be back.
I'm sure I'm not the only one that's glad to have you back. I'm sure the listeners out there, we actually do have a handful of listeners that are listening to us live through TalkShoe, where they're actually going to be able to ask us questions throughout the show and just leave their own comments if they want to. And that's how we're going to pretty much roll from now on as much as we can, and for as many guests that we can get on and get them set up with TalkShoe. That's how we're going to do it. So first off, I'm going to welcome everyone who's listening on TalkShoe to the live show. It's actually really cool to be doing this. Thanks to Jimmy Smith for kicking me in the butt for the last, 9 months that we've been talking about doing this. So
nice.
So I think
we actually wanted to do it July 4th, like that edition. We wanted to do one, but it just did not come together. So you got us in the dead of winter, but it's back. It's good to be back. Good to be live, rather.
Yeah, I guess so. So let's jump right into the FitCast news and get this rolling. First off, for the next, about 2 weeks. We got about 10 days left. The FitCast Insider Volume 1 is going to be 35% off until next Friday. So you can get that package for under $50. It's doing a little bit of a holiday special. If you guys are interested in the FitCast Insider and just want to know what it's all about, it comes with 21 interviews. You can check it out at thefitcast.com. All the discounts will be applied at checkout. So if you want to get a pretty sweet deal before Christmas comes up, you can check that out. Also, I just got about halfway through of watching Scott Abel's The Science Behind the Cycle Diet DVD. I got about halfway through it, and then the disc started skipping in my Xbox, so I'm going to have to find a different DVD player to play it in. I don't think my Xbox likes burned DVDs, so hopefully I should get that review out to you guys by next week. But early impressions, I love it. It was just, it's a video of a seminar that Scott gave in, I think it was late 2005 or 2006, where he goes over it.
It was at the Swiss.
Do you want to, what was that?
Yeah. It was at the Swiss Seminar, Society of Weightlifting Specialists, which is like for a while was the premier seminar every year. I only did it for like 6 years, and Scott was a speaker there, so that's where it's from.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much it about the DVD. You can still check it out. Get it at Scott's site. I think it's $60. And so far, it's worth every penny. He doesn't go too deep into the science aspect. He really just gives you the raw breakdown and details of things and how to apply it for yourself. So we'll talk about that probably a little bit more next week. Next up, we have a birthday in the FitCast family. and that is Cassandra Forsyth. It was her birthday this past week, and I know she's celebrating it right now with one of our co-hosts, and Eric Cressy, in and around Boston. I think they're in Boston tonight, so hopefully, I don't know if she's listening, but Cass, happy birthday, and I know that comes from everyone on the panel, and I know everyone's, especially Jen, I know you're really close with Cass, so I'm guessing you already gave her your birthday wishes.
Of course, and I'm already, like, buying my plane ticket to go out to her marriage next year and trying to, Cassie and I are pretty tight. I love that girl.
Something that I thought we could talk about quickly is Polakin has a new article up on T Nation. It's his December edition of Questions of Strength. Jimmy or Jen, did either of you check that out?
Yeah, I read it.
What'd you think? I thought it was, I mean, I always love his Questions of Strength. It's always what the format is it's questions and answers. And he covered a pretty wide variety of subjects this week, from planks to leg work to even.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I think planks suck, actually. And why I'm going to say it is this, is a lot of times I do agree with Charles on the topic, is like they become now something that came from a therapeutic background, that planks are good because we need to isometrically strengthen our core. And planks, like Stuart McGill uses side planks as a test. And all of a sudden you have these trainers now, they're doing them every workout with their clients because, you know, crunches aren't good because, you know, Stuart McGill said crunches put a load in our back. Yeah, that's true, but that doesn't mean the only thing we should ever do to train our abs is planks. So, I think they suck because the only way you can advance them is to continually put somebody on an unstable surface. You know, and you also have to look at planks. People are really limited because they, you know, their shoulders fatigue out first. So, I mean, I use them. I'm not going to say I don't use them, but I don't use them as nearly as much as a lot of people do. Like, I just think you're practicing to get better at a test. You know, because if I ever work with someone with back pain, a plank is a test I give them. So why am I going to train them with that? You're training for the test.
Yeah, another great point, or another suggestion that he made in the article was talking about rep counting and self-talk. And he mentions counting backwards instead of forwards when you're doing, the example he used was a 5-rep set. He said instead of counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in your head, to count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and that will help you stay focused. And I have to use self-talk when I go lift because I don't lift with anyone anymore. I mean, 90% of the time I'm lifting by myself at the gym. So it really helps to do some self-talk, just take a second with yourself and, you know, talk it up a little bit.
Self-talking does.
Yeah, so I'm a proponent of that. I'm a fan of that. So right now we're going to jump into the mailbag, but before we do, again, I just want to remind all the Talk Shoe listeners right now, please start giving us your questions through the chat so we'll have some questions after the roundtable or during that actually might be our roundtable. So again, feel free to start asking questions. Just send them through the chat message box and I'll see them, and then we will ask them as soon as we get them when we get to that. So please feel free. And for anyone who hasn't joined us through TalkShoe this week, again, like I mentioned before, we're going to try to do this about every week. So again, it's really easy to join TalkShoe and to sign up and to get into the live show. But we'll jump into the mailbag right now. And Jimmy, we actually have a question for you, and it's in regards to stevia. And I don't know if you read the outline, but I'll give you the question. Have you read the latest study on stevia in regards to the results? The results show that treatment with steviocide generates lesions in peripheral blood, liver, brain, and spleen cells in different levels, the largest effect being in the liver. Therefore, these undesired effects must be better understood. Once the data present here point to possible steviocide mutagenic properties, and the question other person asks, what are your thoughts on stevia now? And I don't know if you've checked out that study, but I guess he just took a little bit of a quote from the study.
I've actually seen the study. For really quick. And the thing is, stevia size is not stevia. Like what I use when I talk about like what I use in my coffee or as a sweetener, I use pure stevia extract. Stevia size is part stevia, part other materials, sometimes water, part glycosides, so like from glycogen. So it's not really pure stevia. It's like a mix. It's like a mutt in terms of like sugar. So that kind of we have to. A lot of companies will sell a stevia. There's one protein company that I won't mention that sells a protein powder that says it has stevia in it, but when you look at the label, it's stevia sides. That's not necessarily stevia, so they'll mix it with like sugar alcohols.
You can't
like
mention
that.
The name of the brand?
I don't really want to. I mean, I don't think that's professional. So,
all right.
So that's why I kind of like, yes, I've seen that. I've heard about that. But it's nothing that I'm too concerned about because, again, I don't use that.
All right, fair enough. I still been using the now version stevia. I think it's called Stevia Balance. Usually you go through two or three of those packets a day. And, I mean, I think it is a great taste. And again, it's just one study. And, Jimmy, would those now packets be considered stevia side? Because I haven't looked at what else.
No, it's actually stevia extract.
Okay, yeah, I just didn't know what else they added into the product to make it taste so good. But Jen, have you used stevia at all?
I use a liquid stevia in whatever I'm sweetening, and I use pure extract. I've not ever done anything with the stevia side stuff.
Fair enough. Well, again, this is something I actually want to mention to our talk to your listeners again. If you want to talk on the show, there's actually like a line you can get in to request to talk. So, we could just bring Jimmy on right now.
Well, Jimmy Varner is actually not signed on anymore. Oh, yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
There's actually, and what Jimmy just did and somebody else I know, Oive, if that's your screen name, if I'm pronouncing that right. Like, you guys have mics, you guys can talk in, but if you don't, just type in where it says submit chat messages, and, we'll just go, like, a first-come, first-served basis. So, do you kind of want to take this question, Jimmy Varner's question?
You know what we might actually just have him ask himself. So, Jimmy, I'm going to put you on the line, so I hope you have your headset on and see if this works. Hey, Jimmy, are you with us?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, how are you, Jimmy? It's nice to finally talk to you on the phone.
Yeah, hey, Jimmy. How's it going?
Jimmy.
What's up, Jimmy? How are you, buddy?
Jimmy Smith. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Jimmy, so you have a...
You're cutting out a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You sound a little broken up, but we can hear you. So, Jimmy, did you have a question or something you wanted to ask?
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, because we're all trainers here, and I've had three different members of our gym or clients come in trying to get me to hawk a product, Monav-D or Monav-A, and I know Jimmy's like totally the guru when it comes to supplementation and products, so I was going to ask him and Jen or you, Kev, if you guys have... heard anything, you could chime in as well. Anything about this product?
I've actually not heard anything about the product at all, so I really can't comment on it. I mean,
it looks like it's a green or a greens product. Oh wait, I'm looking at. Is it wine?
No, it's in the bottle itself. It's like a wine bottle. That's kind of the marketing behind it. It's supposed to be a blend of antioxidant-rich fruits. It's supposed to be like all the next superfoods, et cetera. And basically, it's multi-level marketing, and they're trying to get you to sell it to all your clients. But I had three different gym members come up to me with cases of this stuff for me to try, and then obviously they want me to try to sell it. And it's kind of a pyramid thing, but I didn't know if you guys knew anything more about it.
I've never heard of it.
No. I mean... If it's like a green supplement, I mean, I don't know how bad it could really be. I mean, like, there's a ton of that stuff out there now, right? But I don't and I never heard of it. And I guess, like, if you're not seeing, because, I mean, Jimmy, you're online. Like, you go to all the sites. If you're not seeing that from a lot of the trusted sites you're on, I mean, that right there should just kind of be something you should question, you know?
Let me just say, I've taken and tried, like, you know, I'll have friends or family or just someone at the gym or just whoever tell me, you know, oh, this new thing, it's a, you know, it'll be a multi-level thing. You got to try it. It's amazing. You'll notice the effects right away. And I think just like any other supplement, most of those are all really, really good and have an effect right off the bat. And I always do notice, I don't know, I'm not familiar with that particular one, but anytime I've been introduced to a superfoods or a, whether it's a capsule or a liquid, sounds to me like this one's a liquid, and those tend to have more of an effect right off the bat. I like them all, and it's just, I think, a matter of finding one that you like the taste of and that it works for you. So, like Jimmy, it can't be bad. It's a green supplement, you know what I mean? It's not going to hurt you, for sure.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. It's marketed. I think it's retailing $40 a bottle, and one of the guys trying to get me to sell it is really pushing it. And my thing is I'm simply trying to get a client to not overeat, to quit drinking every night, to start, you know, using a fish oil product, some type of a protein shake. And this is like further down on my personal list of must-haves in their. You know, supplement cabinet. So,
well, this is just something that.
Well,
I,
sure, like that.
Jimmy, you can go ahead. I just have something to add after you.
Yeah, well, I was just gonna agree with, you know, kind of what Jimmy said right there. Is like clients at the first, like, start eating more fruits and vegetables and taking fish oils and taking multivitamins and things like that, as opposed to you know, really jumping and getting after it with like these fancy supplements.
Yeah.
Hey, can I jump in for just a quick second?
Oh, yeah,
can I,
Jeff.
Can I sidetrack for just a second? I have to take off, but I just wanted everyone, I know you guys are going to be talking about HIIT again in the roundtable. Is that right, Kev?
Possibly.
Maybe, if you do, or whatever. And, like, I know we usually ask each other what we wrote about, and I finally submitted another article out of myself because I've been so slammed. But it's a good HIIT workout that you can do in the wintertime without even leaving your house. You don't need any equipment. So cardio doesn't have to be boring anymore, so keep your eyes out for that. And it's just, it's really good to be back. And I'll look forward to seeing all of you again next week.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Jen, and hope you have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye, Jen.
Take care, Jen.
Bye, Jimmy.
I was just writing to Jimmy to tell him that I had to mute him because we were getting some bad feedback from his mic. But I just wanted to add onto the conversation. I did a quick Google search while you guys were talking on Monavi, and let's see, looking at the top five search results, four out of the five are titled in some way Monavi scam. So I don't know if, Jimmy, if this is something you want to get involved in, because it looks like a pretty sketchy product. And you might, if you just want to jump on Google and type in Monavi, one of the sites is Monavi Horror, one of them is Monavi and Perfect, and is Monavi a scam? Monavi review is Monavi a scam? So those are like the top four search results, so it doesn't look that good, but that's something that you might just want to research a little bit through Google. That's like Google's our friend. So yeah, that's Jimmy made a good point. He said anytime I see multi-level marketing attached, I usually run. That's good advice. Well, Jimmy,
sure. I mean,
oh, go ahead, Jimmy. What were you gonna say?
No, I wouldn't say anything. I'm just, you know, I just want to keep encouraging everybody out there to keep sending questions in. Like, even if it doesn't pertain to our conversation, just send questions in. I mean, you know, we can talk about anything.
We could talk about how the Patriots are on their way to going 13-0. They're up by 11 points on the Steelers. So that's relevant conversation.
No, it's not.
It's not. All right. Well, I think we should talk a little bit about the roundtable discussion. Jimmy, just want to jump into this, and we'll just see where it goes and see if we get some suggestions from the audience.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Our roundtable this week, ways to stay fit during the holiday season. So this is a pretty general topic, And I think Jimmy and I will probably go into just some ideas that you can elicit nutritionally and obviously physically, things that you can do. So, Jimmy, do you want me to start off, or do you want to start off, or how do you want to do this?
No, go ahead. You get into it.
All right. Well, I mean, first off, I think the best advice you can give to anyone during the holiday season is to not start a diet during the holiday season. Is that fair enough? I mean, I don't see how anyone could go from eating junk to jumping into the holiday lineup of Christmas parties or other holiday parties, New Year's Eve parties, things like that, and be expected to follow a diet because there's going to be tons of junk food around them. There's going to be alcohol around them. They're probably not going to sleep very well for the next 2 weeks or 10 days. So that's not going to be a good combination. And also, they might not even have enough time to get to the gym. So that actually goes in to another one of my points. Make use of body weight workouts. Things that you can do in your house, spend 15, 20 minutes to do, and you can still get a great workout. And one thing that I do recommend is Craig Valentine has a Turbulence Training Bodyweight Workout Manual that has a couple months of worth of workouts in it. And I think it's like 10 or 20 bucks. And you can just print out the workouts, keep them with you. And if you have to be at the house all day or even on Christmas Day, I mean, some people like to work out on Christmas Day. I know I have the last 2 years. I just kind of get bored in between the presents and when family's going to get there. So I tend to just either jump in like last year. I did a bodyweight workout, or you can always, if you have the luxury of having a bike or a treadmill, something like that around your house that you can use. I mean, you can always go outside and take a walk as well. So that's just a couple of my ideas. I have a couple more, but Jimmy, is there anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think people get way too, way too into the whole dieting and will I not lose weight around the holidays. Like, I don't think it's a time to be worried about it. Like, a lot of people, you know, Anthony Roberts blogged about it, Jason Ferrugia blogged about it. Like, this is the time of year a lot of people just go crazy and just eat. That's fine. It has its merits. But I just think, like, what you do between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or Christmas, especially Christmas and New Year's, like, it's not going to affect you overall. Like, you look at the grand scheme of things, it's only, like, 4 or 5 weeks. Like, yeah, the average is, you know, Americans add 10 pounds. I really don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, I would just say, you know, obviously, you know, keep training, and keep working out the way you currently are, you know, and I mean, you have to look at your caloric intake has to match your energy expenditure for that day. So, you know, if you're not training hard and you're eating all that stuff, you'll have a lot more issues than, you know, if you were training hard. So, you know, I just would tell you that just train the way you're going to train. Eat what you want to eat. Like, don't deprive yourself around the holiday time. You know, like, I know exactly on the holidays, like, no one wants to watch what they eat, but, I mean, there's good food around now, dude. Like, I just had some gingerbread cookies. Like, don't be so concerned about it right now.
Yeah, that's a great point. Even, I mean, last couple of years, I remember it was 2 years ago from this upcoming Christmas, I kind of ate like junk over Christmas, and then I jumped in, and for some reason I was able to do the Velocity Diet and actually completed it, and I was actually able to lose all the weight. That's not something I recommend, but just make sure if you have dessert 3 or 4 times over a 2 week period, it's not going to ruin your results in the gym. So don't stress out about it. Just get back on track once the new year starts, and watch out.
It really isn't worth it to stress out about it.
Yeah, just watch out for the extra 50 or 75% of the people that are going to be in the gym starting on January 2nd. It's going to be, or January 1st. I always hate that. And it happens in college too, because kids end up gaining some weight over Christmas break, and then they come back into the gym at school and they want to get ready for spring break. And it's always a...
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, we're focusing way too much on the minutia of it. Like, just, you know, just train hard and just, you know, do all that. Don't worry so much about, like, everything else. Like, just get in there, train hard, eat what you want to eat, do what you want
to
do.
Jimmy, you think it's all right for people to use this as an excuse to go into a bulk?
No, I don't think you ever need to. Like, first of all, we need to define why the hell do we have to have an excuse for bulking anyway? Like, to me,
yeah,
like, muscle has become the most unsexy thing. Bulking has become the most unsexy thing, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. Like, I know a lot of the articles that are out there now will talk about, you know, how, oh, you should train like an athlete, you shouldn't train like a bodybuilder. And I mean, that's not necessarily true. So, like, people are so scared of not being in that quote-unquote accepted category where it's like, oh, well, I'm doing what, you know, XYZ coach, I'm going against what that coach said. Like, it's not like that. Like, you have to realize that it's okay. The only thing that's going to make you look good is adding muscle. Like, I mean, yeah, like, I don't have the abs I had 4 months ago, but overall I look better, and when I diet down in a smart, healthy way, I'll look ultimately better. Like, first of all, we don't need an excuse to bulk. Like, I mean, that's the problem. Like, I don't like walking around with a stomach, but, like, we're trying to get too damn cute. It's like when people are trying to sell cars, like, you know, they'll take one feature. Like, oh, it has headlights that are on all day, and they'll try to make it, like, you know, it's this greatest thing in the world. And, like, I think it's dumb that, like, I understand the mini cuts, the mini bulks. I've done that myself. I've gotten good gains on them. But, I mean, it's just, like, you don't need an excuse to bulk.
Jimmy Varner makes another good point. He says, I have my clients focus on performance and not body composition, then focus on body composition in January and February. So he says during that time...
I think we need to go into Jimmy's comment a little bit deeper, and I do agree with him. We have to define performance. A lot of people will say, they'll think that training for performance means upper or lower splits, or full body splits. And I think this is what Jimmy means, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong, is that what Jimmy Varner means, is that performance, i.e. overload, you know, getting stronger each set, progressing your weights, you know, if you can only squat 135, getting your squat up to 185. When he's talking about performance, he's talking about continually doing something that your body is not doing. I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, I'm training for performance, so they'll do, you know, the functional stuff, or they'll do the plyo stuff, or whatever. That's not training for performance, just because that's how you're told athletes train, or that's how athletes you've seen have trained. What I think Jimmy Varner means is when you train for performance, you train for overload to adapt, and with it itself is going to be, you know, the whole body comp thing. So, you know, I just think that people really miss that way too much in the grand scheme of things. Like, we have to separate the two. What body composition is that you're training to look good. What performance is you're training to make gains. Both of them will give you a better body if you do it correctly. Let's go, Kev, to the question that I don't know how to pronounce it. If it's not too off topic, could you talk later about rotator cuff pain when increasing bench press workouts? Sure. Like, I think... Oh, knee J. Sorry about that. when increasing bench press workouts, do you mean, like, during the workout, or do you mean rotator cuff pain while you're trying to increase your bench? If you could be a little more specific, I'll be happy to answer. Okay, say something, man. I'll be going all quiet.
Patriots 31, Pittsburgh 13.
All right, at least you said something, though, Dan. Okay, after workout. So rotator cuff pain, like, after you're done training? Or rotator cuff pain, like, after you... Okay, pain with rotating after workouts. I'm just gonna start rambling, and NJ, if it's not, like you know, what you're looking for, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think when you have rotator cuff pain when you're trying to increase your bench press during workouts, like, I think you need to first look, you know, at your structural balance. I mean, why are you taking a lot of brunt of the load on the bench press? Like, I think you have to look at your bench press technique. Majority of people will bench press like a bodybuilder, elbows flared out, you know, and even a lot of people in the bodybuilding community now are going more towards the powerlifting style of bench where you tuck your elbows. You'll still get a great amount of pec recruitment, and you won't go into that horizontal abduction that is going to, you know, impinge more about what's going on. So I think what we have to realize is that the bench press technique is the first thing I would tell you to look at. After that, I would then just tell you, you know, look at your structural balance. If you look at the literature, rotator cuffs are just basically ligaments. So I think you just have to look at your direct rotator cuff strength. I think we've gotten way too cute again, and, you know, we focus only on scapular stuff. The scapular stuff is great. That dictates the rotator cuff. We still need to have a certain degree of rotator cuff strength. I think you should first get your form down. I don't think you necessarily have to go down with weight. I mean, I know, like, I can press more, obviously, if I go the powerlifter tuck elbow style, because you decrease the distance. You come down more of a straight line from bar to chest as opposed to bodybuilder. You're making a longer bar path. You know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So I don't think you necessarily need to decrease your weight. I think first, obviously, try with a very, very light weight in the bar. Like, don't put, say, 275 in the bar, you know, and then tuck your elbows for the first time. So that would be kind of what I would say right there to that question. You know, so I would just say focus on the form, and let's go back to the other question that I'm seeing, Kev. I don't know.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't know if it's worth adding that again. Onije, I might be totally just wrong in this, but to make sure you're doing proper warm-up stuff and make sure a trick that I saw at Boyle's seminar that helped me, I was having some shoulder pain, is just taking, and this might help the issue, it might not, but just taking a small medicine ball, like a couple kilogram medicine ball, like this is small red ones that it's smaller than a soccer ball. I don't know the exact size of it, but just taking that and getting it up in under your armpit and doing some soft tissue work under there and seeing if that might help. Or possibly just overall doing some, make sure you're getting that soft tissue work in before your workouts. Make sure you're getting your mobility stuff in before your workouts, doing things like reach rolls and lifts, things like that. I think you can find all that stuff on Cressy and Robertson's Magnificent Mobility. I think most of the stuff's on there, and also on Hartman and Robertson's Inside Out. But I don't know, Jimmy.
I agree with everything you said. I think I want to get to ONJ's next question, which is, I've personally gone off my anabolic low-carb eating plan since Thanksgiving. The extra carbs have added in my pouch, but my workouts have been awesome. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you have to understand that's going to come with the weight, with the territory. I mean, you don't necessarily have to get this big bowling ball stomach. But at the same time, it's like, what's your training goal? You know, you're trying to add size, you're trying to get strong, you're going to need to. That pouch will come off quicker because, remember, you're raising your muscle mass, so muscle mass is more better metabolically active. So I want to get now to Jazz's question, which is...
His name is Jason. He actually emailed me last night. It's Jason.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Sorry, Jason. Sorry. I've twisted my knee playing hockey today. It initially hurt around the back of my knee. Around the top of my calf. I have a dynamic effort lower body day coming up. Are there any exercises I should avoid to be in the safe side? So knees, again, aren't meant to have that torque. And so that's the first problem right there. So the back of the knee, around the top of the calf. So, again, you have to look at where the gastroc connects to the hamstring. That's always a site of pain. There's a small muscle there called the popliteus. I would check your knee extension. What the popliteus does is it unlocks the knee. So if you can't really get into the knee extension, I went to my office one day and I worked with a figure skater who had just partially torn her MCL off a dismount, and she got a good amount of torque on the knee, and the surgeon didn't want to see her take X-rays because it was so inflamed, and I had the girl do a ton of glute medius work, and she actually got her knee straight. That's the manual massage therapy to it. So I would tell you exercises to avoid. I first tell you just make sure your ankle mobility and calf flexibility is there, because that's just going to be limited, you know, in general with you, but more so now that you hurt yourself. I would tell you go for it. You know, if it's a DE, lower body day, dynamic effort, you'll be moving weight a little bit faster, so it's not like you're going to go for max effort stuff, but pay attention to your knee flexion. Pay attention to, I don't know, if you're doing dynamic effort box squats, whatever you're doing, pay attention to the knee flexion that you get when you go low, and then, you know, take it from there. But, you know, I think, you know, that's you know, something you have to really look at. And back to the comment, Jimmy Varner. So, Kid, do you want to say anything on that? I'm sorry, I'm just going off on rants. I'm an idiot, I'm sorry.
You mean you want me to say what Jimmy said?
No, I'll say what Jimmy said. I didn't know if you wanted to go off anything I just said.
No, my knee knowledge is still pretty basic. All I've done, really all my knowledge about knees has been from Bulletproof Knees, so I think you pretty much hit it on the head. I mean, there's nothing I would add.
I would say Jimmy Varner's comment was a really good comment that should be brought up. You know, he says he begins with proper warm-ups, so a little mobility, lightweight, and all presses. Full range of motions, you know, be patient. And I kind of agree with him on that, you know. Don't warm up too much.
And
there is something for being a little cold.
Something Onije, that I might want to add, this might help as well. Make sure you have a spotter and someone, and if you're using heavy weight, have someone give you a lift off. Because that's, especially if you're going to be wasting all that energy, just getting that weight off the rack and just above your chest. That's wasting a lot of strength, and you're just doing extra motion you really don't need to do. So that's anytime I bench, I always make sure there's someone else with me in the gym so I could just get a lift off. I mean, it's really not that much, and I'm sure if you're at the gym, just feel free to ask someone for some help, and I'm sure they'll be glad to give it to you. I don't know if you're out. And another thing, if you are having trouble with that, you just actually mentioned using dumbbells. Now, when I had my shoulder pain, I used dumbbells with a neutral grip for a month. Like, I couldn't bench, and I just used dumbbells, neutral grip for a month, and it just didn't hurt to do that. So that might be something that you might want to do, is just go to dumbbells with a neutral grip for a little bit and see how that helps, and just until you let that shoulder rest for a little bit.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, just...
And neutral grip, just for people who might not know, but just your palms would be facing each other, and it helps you keep your elbows in on that bench press, on the dumbbell bench.
You know, we also see a lot of shoulder pain with there's a muscle called the subclavius. That's actually not really talked about in literature, and I submitted an article to it about T-Nation. I don't know if it's going to get used, though, and that muscle is responsible for unlocking our collarbone, or clavicle, during pressing movements. So a lot of times people are neurologically tight there, and that causes a ton of shoulder pain. I've actually fixed shoulders just by getting into that muscle. It's hard to, you know. I mean, the best way to get into it is with acupuncture, but, you know, I think Christian Thibodeau's, Tony Schwartz and Christian Thibodeau's EQIs are very good. You know, you get your arms up on two benches and drop down to do push-ups. You know, that's that fascial stretching that people were talking about. You know, I think that really helps, and I would really tell you, you know, get into dumbbells, you know, do the neutral grip. Kev, since everybody kind of seems to be dying down the questions, do you just want to, like, ask me something? Do you want me to go on a rant about something and see if we can get questions off that? I mean, it really is your call. Yeah.
Actually, you know what, it's funny that you mentioned that, because someone sent me an email this past week,
nice.
And they think that you should have your own segment called Jimmy's Rant.
Hey, I'm with it, man. Anything I could do to talk more, you know, I like talking.
Well, you know, actually, this is interesting. Let's be a little bit of nostalgic, and let's go into some, this is kind of like some health and fitness related news, but let's talk about a little bit of what's going into the pop culture. No, this is all right. This is not really news. It's more of like pop culture perception on fitness. And actually, this part is about weight loss. And I got this story from date.com, which is a website that lets the users...
Date.com? What you doing on date.com, dude?
Shut up. They're using that as a way to vote for the most popular articles. And this is one of the most popular articles. It was titled, "The Only Four Principles of Weight Loss You Need to Know." And it's from weightlosswan.com, which is a great website. I'm literally going to be reading this for the first time and telling you, Jimmy, you can feel free to blow up on these, or they might actually be kind of solid. But number one, forget about diets. People that go from diet to diet never reach a stable weight, let alone a good shape. All right, that's a pretty good point. Proper nutrition. Isn't that self-explanatory? Physical exercise, again, that's self-explanatory, but something that kind of scares me that will have me go, I'm going off on a little side rant here, but my teacher in exercise programming, we started talking about weight loss, and just he was mentioning how little of a role that exercise plays in weight loss, and it's really all in the nutritional end. And I think he's right to a point, but it's really not a good thing to de-emphasize exercise during a time where someone's going to be trying to lose weight, especially if they're trying to lose weight, they might even go in a caloric deficit of 1,000 calories. So, Jimmy, are you building, like, a Lego fort, or what are you doing?
No, dude, I'm drinking an amino acid thing with ice in it.
All right, I'll just try to. We're doing a show. You should quiet down a little bit,
dude. I'm not the one who goes on date.com during the shows. All right,
I was on date.com to get some stories, just in case that we had some extra time.
Yeah, that's like saying you went to the porno store to see what's on the shelves, pal.
I've never been in a porno shop, so I don't see how that's relevant. This is probably the worst conversation we've ever had in the history of the show. We just reached a new low, and it's live, so people actually know this. So I'm not even going to edit this out. But
yeah, most people just really can't commit to a diet, like Jimmy Varner said, and I agree. Diets actually suck. Sometimes when I write articles, I have to use the word working out, and I really don't like to because there's a distinct difference between working out and training. But it's like if you tell people, oh, I'm going to go to train, they're like, oh, you're going to go train somebody? No, I'm going to go work out. But like, it's like same thing with a diet. Like, I don't like calling it a diet. I like calling it like nutrition. But people just kind of really don't. I guess don't really care that much. So
I don't know anyone that's ever been on a diet and has been successful with it. Normally, it's people that have gone into going through like a quote unquote lifestyle change where they end up going like the precision nutrition route, or we had someone on talks you mentioned that they've been using the anabolic diet. That's another thing that you can use. And also something that Scott Abel was talking about, cycle diet. So I think it's more of something that, and I'm having a hell of a time with my clients here at school because it's so hard trying to get them to follow dietary advice. I'm trying to get one guy to eat everything in sight, and I'm trying to get someone else to eat less junk food. And it's equally as difficult for both of them to get them to follow just some loose general guidelines that I've been trying to give them to give them kind of the bump or the edge into just making some better choices. But Jimmy, did you have something you wanted to add on to that?
No, I agree with everything you said there, Kev. You just said
no. I'm not. No, I'm not on the anabolic diet. I've been quietly just. I've been eating kind of what I call.
Yeah, well, like, what are you trying to do, Kev? Like you called me a while ago. This is going back 6 months and said that you wanted to lose fat. But like, what are you doing? Are you trying to bulk up? Are you? Because personally, here's the thought. I don't think anybody should ever be in the middle. Like either lose. You can do two things, dude. You can lose fat, or you can, build fat, you add fat, build muscles. Don't. I hate when people tell me, oh, they're in the middle or they're trying to maintain. You can't maintain. That's just stupidity. So what are you like? What are you trying to do? Like, what's your deal?
Well, what I've been doing is I've been pretty much staying in the course of. I've been, believe it or not, I've just been maintaining, and I've been getting stronger though. I've been trying to get bigger and stronger, but I'm not bulking. But I'm actually hoping to use a lot of the things that I learned from Scott Abel's DVD to help me out with that and going into more of a cycled diet. But I've been getting stronger. My bench has been going up. My deadlift, like I said, I just reached 425, and I'm pretty happy with that. And I don't know. I'm pretty much.
Yeah, I agree with ONJ. I mean, I think the anabolic diet works. I think like everything else has a place in time. So,
well, I even looked into the anabolic diet, and I even tried it out for 2 weeks, and it just wasn't for me because every time I went back to eating, like I can't if I ever eat a lot of carbohydrates, I feel like crap, and I don't want to feel like crap when I eat carbohydrates. So that wasn't gonna be a way that I was gonna eat. But I don't know, man. I'm getting stronger. You probably see me when you. I don't know when I'll ever see you, Jimmy. But when you see me, you'll probably just know.
It's been a while since I saw you.
Yeah, almost. Been about 9 months, I think.
Yeah, was this time I saw you? Barati seminar.
Yeah.
No, it
was Barati seminar.
Because you didn't come to the big 3-day one. See, you're the one who messed up, man. We could have had a picture of the original new FitCast people of me, you, Tony, and Keith. You didn't come.
What about Jen?
Give clients ultimatums. Dude, I said the original new cast. Jen wasn't a part of the original new cast. then came on after like two episodes, and you decided we needed a female president. There's some more questions real quick, so let's stop this bantering. Jimmy Varner asks, do you guys give clients ultimatums who continue to fail on programs or are planning to prescribe? Dude, I really wish I could.
No.
If people aren't familiar with my work situation, is that I currently work for somebody else. I work in a facility, so I have bosses. If I had my own place and a client wasn't serious, because I will train some people that aren't really, really too serious, you know, like they just want to come in and talk or just want to say they have a trainer because the area of the country that I'm in. If I worked with someone who wasn't, like, with how I want it to be, and then the clients of mine that get the best results typically will train between 45 minutes and an hour and 5 minutes because, like, it's like, all right, here's what I know that's going to happen,
oh,
you know, like,
God.
If I can get something done in 45 minutes, I don't need to spend an hour. So if I had a client who wasn't dedicated and wouldn't follow a diet I gave them and wasn't serious about training, I would, you know, just give them an ultimatum, like, look, I'm going to stop training you. So it's like, it is frustrating, and it's actually kind of annoying because when you love what you do, like, a lot of times, like, with certain clients, I don't even come home and do program design. Like, I know that's stupid to say, but there's some clients that I work with. Now I have athletes that I work with. I have some pretty high-profile ones that I work with. I have some really dedicated, you know, fitness enthusiasts. I have some bodybuilders and some physique competitors. And, you know, these ones, for better or worse, are the ones that, you know, take up even my free time, where I'll be looking at programs and I'll think how I get them to point Z, you know. Yes and no. I guess I give ultimatums. I guess I don't. I want to get to Chris's question.
Well,
can I
talk in or maybe because I thought the question was for both of us, and I don't know. Last time I checked, I did host the show at one point, but just
yeah. But last time you checked, you also looked like Grandpa Munster. Damn it!
Ugh, who cares? All right. Well, just Jimmy, just answering your own point.
People here too.
I'm on a completely different end of the spectrum. I'm training college students. I am given clients from the person that runs the gym. It's part of my curriculum, so I kind of have to train them, even though we actually don't have to train anyone in our curriculum. But we're given clients. Like I said, I have two that I'm kind of having problems with. One that, for life of me, I can't get him to gain weight. And the other one who's pretty much just staying the same. That's the thing, is they're both staying at the same weight as where they started when they started training. And I know, to be honest, I know the training's not flawed. I know I'm busting their asses, and I know the science behind the training that I'm having them do is solid. I know they're doing good workouts, and the one thing that I see is they're getting stronger. They're getting a lot stronger, but their weight's pretty much staying the same. Their body fat's staying the same. And in the case of the male who I'm trying to, he literally has to gain weight for health reasons. He had his lungs collapse about a year ago, and ever since then he's been pretty underweight, and he needs to put on muscle mass. He needs to just get weight on him. And I don't know if I talked about this on the show before or not, but there might be a chance that he has an overactive thyroid because his resting heart rate always hovers between 88 and 86 and 88 is his resting heart rate normally, and when he gets going, his heart rate just rockets up. So that's something that he has been told by a doctor, that he might have an overactive thyroid, which could be hampering the results a little bit. But yeah, I've never can't give them an ultimatum at this point. One, because I really think that if they don't have a trainer, they're not gonna do well. And again, I feel like if I pass them off to another trainer at the gym at my school, that they're not gonna have as good of a program. They're not gonna have as good of a trainer. That's me being a cocky bastard. I know that. It's me being a cocky bastard. But I think you kind of have to be cocky. And if you don't think you have the best programs, and if you don't think you're the best trainer at the gym, then what the hell are you doing? Trying to be third or fourth best? What's the point?
It's a damn good way to put it, Kev.
So at this point, I haven't given them ultimatum. I pretty much just, I've sat down with them every time after we have to do fitness tests. So they get weighed, we do body fat, and I just have to sit down with them and basically reevaluate what we've done over the last 2 months. We go, all right, let's look at this. 2 months ago, you were able to get, say, 20 push-ups. Now you just did 32 push-ups. So we just see that you're able to get stronger in 2 months. You might not have gained weight or you might not have lost weight, but you know what? We're seeing progress. You're getting stronger. Something's coming out of this. We just need to see if we can buckle down on the nutrition. So just, again, just going over the nutrition, nutritional guidelines that I gave them for the male, I'm telling him to just get in a solid meal. He has a sweet tooth, so I tell him, get in a solid meal, make sure you're getting your protein, your good carbohydrates, get in your vegetables, get in your fruits, get in your lean meats. And after that, if you want to go have a slice of cake, you want to get some cookies and milk, go do it. Go do it, because this kid needs to put on weight. I'm having the hardest time. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen, that I can't put weight on this kid. And it's really frustrating. It's frustrating to the point where I sat down and I talked with someone. I said, I don't know what to do, because I've spent about 9 or 10 weeks with this guy, and we've stayed at the same weight. I think he's gained 1 pound over that time period, but he is getting stronger. So Jimmy has a good point. Get on his back when he gets on the scale.
You ranted, huh?
I did, because that's something that's been kind of bugging me. And for the other client, I've just been having her, I've given her the guidelines, but then she comes back to me the next week and said, I ate like crap over the weekend. I tell her, you can have 2 cheat meals throughout the week. Otherwise, I want you to just eat through these guidelines. And it's simple things. It's things you can get at the DC, things which are the dining commons, things you can get that are on campus, simple things she can go to the grocery store, pick up, keep in her dorm room. I mean, it's really basic things, and she's still just getting tempted by going home on the weekends, eating food at home, eating candy at home, having cake, having cookies, and I you do the best that you can. I mean, you can't hold a gun to their head, go to them for every meal, take them to the grocery store. You can't do that. And if you did that as a trainer, you won't have time for the rest of your clients, so you'd be neglecting everyone else. So that's just my personal belief. And sorry about ranting a little bit. I apologize.
Do you want to get to Jason's question and make that the last question? Because we're coming on an hour now. About just real quick about Jason asked, what are your thoughts on shoes for training? I want to get some Chuck Taylors for deadlifting, but don't think I'd like them for things like box jumps. My response to that, Jason, would be, what's your training goal? You know, are you trying to train like a powerlifter or not? You know, obviously I would say not, because you're doing stuff like box jumps. So, like, for me, I would just get a good pair of training shoes. Like, I know everybody likes Chucks because they can spread the floor easier, or Nike Freeze, but, I mean, I could do box jumps or any type of high-intensity stuff with Nike Freeze on. I train a pair of Jordan training shoes. So unless you're actually trying to train to be a powerlifter, I wouldn't be so concerned with the Chucks.
Yeah, or if you can afford Jordans like Jimmy can.
Dude, I bought these like 4 years ago, dude, and I only train them. I only use them when I'm training. So actually, and Jordans aren't that expensive. I mean, the basketball sneakers are. Like, these are like the training ones. These things are like $60, so bite it.
All right, well, Chris Brown had a question. I actually went to school with the Chris Brown. That's funny. He says,
And there's a Chris Brown who's an artist, too. That's funny, too, right?
The rapper? There's a rapper, right?
Yeah, well, actually R&B, but if you really want to split hairs.
He asks, Kev, crap, someone asked another question.
Sorry. I knew you were getting to that one. That's your question.
Well, do you know what? I thought he wanted to ask it.
No, go ahead. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you.
Kevin, what was your deadlift like weight-wise when you started lifting with Eric in the summer? I came in there, and I think I said that I was doing 225 for sets of three at that point. So I was pretty weak. Not too impressive. And my bench numbers were pretty horrible. I think I was benching like 165 for sets of three at that point. That's when I was in my Waterbury phase. I was doing sets of three. And numbers were not very good. But now, like, my bench press right now, I did sets of three. Actually, just coming off my shoulder stopped hurting. And I went, this is actually kind of an interesting story I'll bring up, that I did exclusively neutral grip dumbbell bench presses that did flat bench, decline, and incline. And I did that exclusively, got all the way up to, obviously, we only have weights that go up to 100, so I was doing hundreds for sets of five. And after that, after not benching for almost 2 months, I went back to the bench. My numbers got a little bit better. Ended up doing 245 for sets of three, which is not fantastic. Jimmy, I know your numbers are probably better. I'm a long-armed kid. I have long, skinny arms, and I have long, skinny legs, although my legs are getting...
Wait, how much is your bench? What'd you say your bench was?
265 for sets of three. 245 for sets of three.
No, that's all right, dude.
It's not great, but
you're strong for your body weight, dude. I mean, you know, you're not that big of a muscular guy, so you're strong for your body weight. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's it. Jimmy, are you watching TV while we're doing the show? That's not very respectful.
No, I'm not watching TV.
All right. I don't know if anyone else heard that, but I definitely did. So,
what are you hearing?
I don't know. Chris actually Jimmy heard it. Chris follows up and asks, can many trainees expect to make such improvements in their lifts? You know what? To be honest, when my lifts were having problems is that my technique wasn't good. I thought my technique was good. It wasn't. When I was deadlifting before I went to Eric, I was not touching the weight on the ground every time. So there's a start. My elbows were flying out on my bench press when I got there. And also, I think that's pretty much it, technique wise.
You want to wrap it up, Kev?
Yeah, I think that's why I made the gains that I did, is just getting that technique fixed with Eric, and also doing more mobility stuff, having a solid warm up, things like that. But Jimmy has places to go, people to see. Patriots are on the verge of going 13-0.
I want to talk to you on my damn computer.
All right, so we're gonna wrap it up. Thanks again for everyone who joined us in the Talk Shoe Live.
Thank you guys. We really, really appreciate you spending your time with us.
And we hope more of you come next week and join us in the chat and talk to us through the text messaging, and just if you want to ask questions.
Join our Facebook group.
Join our Facebook group. And I think that's going to be about it. So for episode number 76, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
We'll see you next week. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check us out on iTunes. And hopefully next week we'll see you on TalkShoe again. Take care, everyone.